Welcome to Office Hours, a social science podcast produced at the University of Minnesota, featuring conversations with prominent scholars, researchers, and other movers and shakers in the social world.
Today on the podcast, we're joined by Bartholomew Ryan, who's co-curator of the Baby Marx exhibition at the Walker Center for the Arts in Minneapolis. He was on campus to talk with a couple of our Introduction to Sociology classes and was kind enough to stop by and chat with us about what happens when you combine social theorists, puppetry, and among other things, a trip to Occupy Wall Street. Right, welcome to the podcast. Today we have with us Bartholomew Ryan, who is a co-curator of the Baby Marx exhibit at the Walker Center for the Arts in Minneapolis. Bartholomew, thanks for being with us.
Hi, thank you.
Tell us a little bit about the Baby Marx exhibition. What is it?
Well, it's a contemporary art exhibition that's going to close in about a week's time. That is basically takes a long-term project by the artist Pedro Reyes and brings it to its next sort of phase or iteration. Pedro is a Mexican artist who lives in Mexico City. He does projects at a lot of different places, and his background is in architecture. He's very invested in thinking through some of the legacies of various forms of utopian modernism and so on, but he's also very interested in making art that sort of resonates on a contemporary art level, but also on a more kind of popular level that inserts itself into the community a bit more than maybe some other kinds of contemporary artwork might. So in 2008, he was invited to participate in the Yokohama Triennial in Japan, and actually was invited in 2007, and he proposed this project that would sort of make the ideologies of political economy and the history of political economy a little bit more visible on this very accessible, popular level, i.e. a puppet show that would run on television. And so the idea was he would make puppets of Karl Marx, the founding theorist of communism, Adam Smith, one of the forefathers of capitalist doctrines and thinking, and various other characters from that history, and make some kind of entertaining television program that where they would all interact and you sort of learn a little bit about them and get to laugh too. So he just produced a trailer for this kind of yet to exist program for the Yokohama Triennial, and he had a whole bunch of puppets made. They were designed in a very intricate and clever way, I think. And the trailer was quite witty, and it opened with Yokohama at a time when the financial crisis was in full swing. So it went from this moment where the curator was more or less asking, well, why would Karl Marx be relevant, to the whole thing seeming somehow very relevant, where at a moment where capitalism was once again in crisis and where people were asking deep existential questions about the state of contemporary society and culture. So anyway, just to cut a long story short, that project then was picked up with Pedro by a producer in Mexico City who funded a kind of a large-scale set, which was this giant library that Pedro designed and built. His idea was a library as a public space, one of the last refuges of this kind of public sphere that actually really now is gone or distributed in a different way thanks to the internet, I guess. And built this large set, and they brought over this Japanese puppet troupe, and they wrote a script with a bunch of academics and sort of other writers, and they produced a 30-minute pilot, which looked really beautiful and is actually, reasonably entertaining, but also felt kind of flat on a number of levels and felt sort of very divorced from the real world in a way. It was just this kind of, deeply kind of formalized conversation between these characters in this library rather than something that was really engaging with the present. And I think for Pedro, he wanted to break America and sort of have a series on HBO or Adult Swim, or, to actually be part of this kind of very developed political satire thing that's going on in America right now, but also have these ideas, and it just wasn't there, wasn't where it needed to be. So by the time myself and Camille Washington, who she and I co-created the show together, by the time we got involved with Pedro, we were interested in what would happen in the next phase of Baby Marx. Like, where could it go now, and how could the walker help facilitate that journey? And part of our thinking was, well, let's just do a project that really asks, well, what is Baby Marx anyway? That sort of looks at the intersections between ideology, contemporary art, and entertainment, and the kind of ways in which each of these fields or worlds or things, or I mean, they're all different types of things, but the way in which they both hold each other up but also undermine each other, or the way in which certain things can't intersect with various distribution mechanisms or whatever, and also try and create a new phase of production for the piece that would be much more connected to the real, to the real world, that would use puppeteers who were much more responsive to the present, who both puppeteered and spoke, you know, and helped sort of compose the content. And we felt that would be a much more kind of responsive and alive way to use them. And Pedro agreed. And then, so what we did was we produced some really kind of rough and ready, highly improvisatory scenes around the walker based on very simple premise or very simple ideas, such as they're looking at an Andy Warhol painting, and Marx is saying it comes from a factory, and they're talking about the value of the painting and surplus value and so on in relationship to the real world. And so these kind of scenes then felt much more alive than what had been done before. We made a number of them, and then recently Marx and Smith, the puppets, and Pedro and the videographer all went off to Occupy Wall Street and shot a scene there, and they just sent us back that video, which is now online. So yeah, so what happened was, I think it became a much more kind of spontaneous, informal process, and that the content actually really improved as a result. So that's my long, that's the long way to get to where it is now. We also had a whole bunch of events around the show, which were very important. So you have the platform of the exhibition, which is the exhibition in the space. Then you have these two sort of highly discursive events, one with the political scientist Michael Hart and the literary theorist Lauren Berland, who are two quite brilliant people, came and talked to Pedro about puppets and puppeteering and satire and all of these other things. And that was an amazing conversation. It's online. And then we had a town hall in the galleries called Who Will Survive in America, where two professors from the U actually kind of represented these two very embedded positions, one being a kind of a Marxism route one, and a kind of a neoliberalism or neoclassical economic position was the other one. And neither of the professors really were completely devoted to these positions, but they pretended they were to a certain extent, and it led to some interesting dialogue, and of course the audience was very involved as well. So those are the various levels. You have this kind of very, you have this, these insertions in YouTube that are pretty basic but funny, and then you have this kind of discursive level, and then you have what's in the gallery, and all of that is sort of creating this nexus around this idea.
And so, I mean, as a sociologist, I was just fascinated as soon as I heard Baby Marx and puppets. So, I mean, but my question is, like, what do you think is sort of the value of presenting these theories, theorists, and their ideas in puppet form, or what do people get, do you think, out of seeing this exhibition?
Well, I think in a lot of ways we're used to not really thinking about these ideas anymore, or just receiving them in as they've been handed down to us through this kind of dogmatic chain of history, or and something about this process helped to loosen up those ideas a little bit, helped to kind of embody them a little bit more with kind of real subjective sort of types that in this case came from the puppeteers and their personalities and how they injected the characters with various traits. But I actually think that, you know, ideas come from people, and people, you know, live and breathe and have sort of like inconsistencies very naturally as part of their being, which often translate into their work, and then these works become purified and sort of simplified to a certain degree. And just the idea of like injecting some kind of humanity into these people, and the way Marx and Smith sort of really actually seem to really like each other and get on quite well, even though they're always kvetching and making fun of each other, actually kind of creates this sort of deeply human sort of sense of possibility that at this moment is not a bad thing. You know, when we have such a divisive society at the moment, and such a divided society. Then puppets allow you to do things that you wouldn't otherwise be able to do. I mean, I think there's still a huge taboo around Marx in America, and even mentioning his name in certain contexts can be deeply problematic, and particularly for a public institution the size of the Walker or whatever, there's ways in which if you're accused of, you know, supporting some Marxist agenda, it's not a good thing. I mean, it's, we're not in the McCarthy era, but it's still, you know, it's still a highly loaded context. And of course, the show, you know, any devoted Marxist who watches it won't be happy, because it's certainly not affirming that position entirely in any way. But still, it does bring his name more into the sort of the popular framework, and it does draw attention to some of his ideas, just as it does Adam Smith. I actually learned more about Adam Smith doing this project than Marx, because I was more familiar with Marx. Coming from a liberal arts background, we don't really spend a lot of time on Adam Smith.
Not so much, but Karl Marx gets some airtime. It's really true. You get a lot of him.
So that's kind of one of the utilities of puppets, and also puppets are very disarming, while also historically being associated with a very strong ability to speak from some position that's in some ways almost like a drunk on stage, or these kind of outsider characters, like, you know, the blind prophet or whatever. The puppet is just another one of those kind of theatrical devices that can speak from this position of truth in a way that's outside of the kind of the comfortable margins of where people are, from within which people are supposed to address reality.
And you were before this interview, you were speaking to an intro to sociology class here at the U, and it came up about sort of puppets having a history of being used for political satire. Can you say a little bit about that and how this might fit into that broader context?
Yeah, well, a lot of people talk about puppets, you know, historically being permitted to say things that other contexts weren't allowed to say. You know, it's very hard if you're a sovereign and a puppet says something, you know, that they shouldn't say to, like, sort of execute the puppeteer. You look a little bit silly, you know. So I think there's always this kind of, that kind of habit. It's also, you know, that kind of culture with the Joker in Shakespeare or something, which is a similar context. But yeah, you know, I guess puppets have been instrumentalized in lots of different ways throughout time, and a lot of times they've been used to point up the sort of ridiculousness of the real world, using this kind of very ridiculous premise as as an excuse to be able to do that. But one of the students was talking about how, you know, at a certain stage, puppets were actually used in a highly pedagogical context as well to spread information about, say, you know, Lincoln's policies vis-a-vis someone else. And so that's interesting too. So obviously they've had a lot of different usages over time. It is amazing though how I was joking about this this program called Wunderschausen, which we were interested in for a while, which is on MTV2, which is this kind of very anarchic, kind of almost nihilist comedy show, ostensibly for children, but it used to run at 10 p.m. because it was so outrageous. And one of the recurring motifs in it is this hand glove puppet called Clarence, who's like this blue Muppet Show type puppet, who goes out and sort of harasses people on the street. I mean, it's not terribly, you know, friendly stuff, but one of the scenes that I remember is him going somewhere like Central Park, and there's these people jogging around the park, and all you see is this glove, this kind of cute glove puppet, and obviously the cameraman is also the puppeteer. He's kind of chasing or running along with the people going, you know, what are you running from? they're just getting a bit of exercise, so they all have very different responses, and it's kind of charming, obviously, the way some people respond and so on. But some people get very angry, and they would hit him. But what I always found very interesting, which I think is a very revealing thing about the puppet, is that they wouldn't hit the man who's holding the puppet. They would hit the puppet.
That's so funny.
And I think that's a very, there's something there about why these inanimate things can actually do things that other people can't do.
Yeah. Oh, that's fascinating. So speaking of bringing these social theorists into contemporary relevance and also politics, you mentioned that they visited the Occupy Wall Street protest. So tell us a little bit about how that happened and then what happened while they were there.
Well, I didn't make the visit with them. What happened was Pedro, so Occupy Wall Street wasn't happening when this project began. Of course, you know, the project is being made at a time of sort of deep global crisis. So there's always things happening. There has been things happening throughout the run. For example, on the opening night, that was the week of the London riots, and the stock market fell 600 points or something. So while Pedro couldn't anticipate Occupy Wall Street, I think he wanted to be very responsive to those things. So there was a point a few weeks ago where he emailed us and said, you know, I really want to bring the puppeteers to New York and shoot some material at Occupy Wall Street. I think it's too important to miss it. And, you know, we had this kind of moment internally where, you know, just like anything, one has a certain budget structure, and this might have fallen outside what we had budgeted, but more importantly, these objects, like these puppets, were up on show for our public in the exhibition. And there was some kind of like questioning of, well, you know, what does it mean to take these out of the exhibition and send them elsewhere? And I think we felt ultimately that it was entirely consistent with this project, which was so about the present, to do so. So we had to jump through a bunch of like silly hoops to do with, you know, sending an artwork, basically, because the puppets are also exist within an art world economy. Sending them to Occupy Wall Street, where anything could happen to them.
Literally.
Yeah. And this is all sort of boring technical internal stuff. But basically, the real response was, yeah, absolutely, you should totally do this. So they flew out there and they spent a few days there. And I think the general response was sort of curiosity, like, well, who are these puppets? A lot of people thought the Adam Smith puppet was George Washington.
Oh, really?
Who has more name recognition, much to the
slightly.
Much to Adam Smith's chagrin, or the character who played Adam Smith would play that up a bit. You know, how everyone knew who Carl was, but nobody knows who I am. So they shot a lot, and it kind of boiled down to maybe a 7-minute scene that's it's on Vimeo right now, but you can access it via the Walker website, or you can just Google Baby Marx Occupy Wall Street and it will come up. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting. Yeah.
And the puppets survived.
The puppets survived fine. Yeah.
That's good. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll definitely link to that video
On
the podcast for people that want to see it. So is the exhibition traveling, or, I mean, we mentioned online, but is there, I mean, obviously it's here in Minneapolis for a few more days, but people out there listening to the podcast, can they see it anywhere else anytime soon, or is it mostly online?
Well, structurally, you know, often museums will tour an exhibition that they've sort of helped produce. With this one, that was very difficult to do because there were so many moving parts with this, and they were still moving, honestly, until the show opened. So it was hard to sort of call up another museum and say, this is a show we think you guys could take, and this is what it involves. But having said that, there are, you know, so in a way, conceptually, I think Camille and I, and to an extent Pedro, looked at the Walker as being this really exciting new phase in the project, not one that had to deliver finite results, not one that had to be the end of the project, but one that would sort of put it in good shape to sort of pass it on to its next phase and allow and sort of give Pedro some of the resources for him to do that kind of experimentation. And we feel like, you know, we've done that. We've had an amazing experience with Pedro and with the project, and it's going to move on, but we don't know where.
Okay.
You know, I think it might be going to Kansas City soon, and it'll probably emerge in a lot of different contexts. Meantime, Pedro has a good relationship with the puppeteers now, so I'm sure they'll be doing scenes and vignettes in different places over the coming year or two.
Okay.
I hope.
Great. So for anyone listening, keep your ear out for word about Baby Marx in your area. And
yeah.
We'll link to you online. And thanks so much for your time today.
No problem. Thank you. It was great.
Okay.
And that's all for Office Hours. Thanks for listening, as always. And thanks to the TSP team at Minnesota and the nice folks in the University of Minnesota College of Liberal Arts Office of Information Technology for hosting the societypages.org and these here MP3 files. See you soon!